Gold Belt shareholder Ray Austin complained to regulators in 2018 that board members were breaking the rules by not filing financial disclosures.
It's important that board members disclose any conflict of interest that they may have.
But he says nothing came of it. Then in a Facebook forum in May of 2019, he went public with that and another complaint he'd filed. Gold Belt board member Richard Beasley, an accomplished Klingit master carver, had signed a contract with the corporation's Mount Roberts Tramway a month before the corporation's annual meeting and board elections. But this wasn't disclosed to shareholders. Normally, board members aren't allowed to work for the corporations they're overseeing, but the board had made an exception for one of their own. The post also revealed the details of past complaints, and he accused regulators of inaction. And it's that public online complaint that's landed Austin in hot water. State financial regulators are empowered to regulate any public statement that could sway a board election in a native corporation. The rules are designed to block misleading information that could affect projects or defraud investors. But critics like Austin say it's more often used to silence dissent of shareholders.
Freedom of speech is important. I think shareholders or anyone should have the right for freedom of speech. And it appears that we don't.
Regulators charged with enforcement say that's not the case.
Every complaint is treated equally.
Leif Haugen is chief of enforcement for the state's banking and securities division. He says he won't comment on allegations against Gold Belt's board of directors, as investigative files are confidential.
Yeah, I won't speak to you about other matters that have been under investigation that didn't result in an order or anything that may be currently being investigated.
Most, though not necessarily all, enforcement actions are generated by complaints brought to the 7-member enforcement team. He says most orders and fines are against individual shareholders, probably because they don't have the same access to professional legal advice.
We see more complaints against shareholders, maybe because they aren't quite as knowledgeable about the regulations.
Gold Belt's CEO, McHugh Pierre, says the corporation didn't complain against Austin, a perennial critic of the corporation's management. And he denies that the board members band together to campaign for each other.
We don't have a board slate like C-Alaska or other corporations do. It's a totally independent campaign cycle. And so the corporation doesn't take a position one way or another and doesn't take actions against candidates regarding banking and securities investigations.
So why did regulators issue a June 16th enforcement action? A couple of things. For one, Austin didn't file disclosures of his own with the agency before going public. Also, the offending Facebook post got a date wrong in its narrative about a board member's carving contract at the corporation's Mount Roberts Tramway.
So he was saying that it should have been disclosed in the 2018 proxy, which that wasn't possible because the work wasn't for the previous year. The work was beginning in 2018 and, in fact, began after the proxy was already printed.
And it's on this basis that regulators say a material misrepresentation was made and fined him $1,000. There are differing views on whether Gold Belt should have disclosed one of its board members up for election had a paid side gig with the corporation, but to date, regulators are silent on that point. But back to the larger question, are regulators overreaching by fining dissident shareholders? The Alaska Supreme Court has already heard arguments from the ACLU challenging the state's power to regulate any speech in print or online that could influence the governance of native corporations. Haugen says the courts have traditionally sided with the regulator. In fact, its broad powers aren't limited to just shareholders of native corporations, created out of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA.
Any person, theoretically, who gets involved in soliciting proxies could become a respondent in an ANCSA complaint. I can tell you that I haven't seen that in my time here, but I guess it's theoretically possible.
That remains untested. Even so, whether the state's authority over native corporation elections violates free speech is a question now being weighed by Alaska's Supreme Court justices. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.